Barney Barnhart.
Thank you very much. It's very humbling to be asked to share the greatness of God's Word about such a dramatic subject, and I hope you've enjoyed so far the presentation that has developed the drama of the resurrection. And I'm not sure that we really are capable of really understanding fully what it must have been like to the hearts and to the lives of those people who really lived with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we see it from God's Word, I guarantee you it was probably 100 times more important and powerful to them at that time. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most miraculous and the most notable event in all of human history. Never before has there ever been or will there ever be again to follow a man resurrected from the dead. Now, there were people who were raised from the dead. And when you get raised from the dead, you can and will more than likely die again. But when Jesus was resurrected by God, he ushered in a new type of life, a life that will never end. A life that conquered death and the grave and brings with it a new body and unlimited spiritual potential. As we look forward to that day when we too will have the fullness of all that God has in store for us, we are constrained to offer ourselves in living sacrifice and in service to walk in the realm of the miraculous. And that's one of the great things that the resurrection brings to us is our ability now to walk in the realm of the miraculous. For us to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's paved the way. See, we take the place of the absent Christ today. We're all, there's not one Jesus Christ, right? Every person who has confessed Jesus as Lord, believed God, raised him from the dead, Christ is there present. You have the power. You can speak in tongues. You can interpret tongues. You can manifest prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Well, why some more than others? Why do some excel more than others? Well, that's because they've been through a special training program that's enabled them to perform more than others. Isn't that true? Where do you see that in the Bible? But yet some of us have used that as a justification of why some others would be more, quote, unspiritual than others. That's not true. You know, many times we're limited in our walk with God because of our own believing. Because of what we think we can and cannot do. I've said this before. The man who says he can and the man he says he can't are, guess what? Both right. Because if you can't see yourself doing it, then you know what? You won't do it. But if you can see and you will put yourself in a position to do it, then you know what? The likelihood that you'll be more capable of doing it. See? Ministering to one another. Helping. Serving. You know what? It's not that you all figured out in advance. I'll take this weekend as a perfect example. You know, we have a general framework, a structure. You know, Earn, bless his heart, and David, you know, they got the pretty sophisticated sound booth and everything back there. They saw this stuff and, you know, with the Spirit of God working within them, they figured it out within, you know, a certain period of time. For certain period of time, and you know, the people on the stage doing bits and teaching, you know, everybody has a certain standard. Got to dim out, and lights got to dim out. Well, microphone. Well, bless your hearts, you know, Spirit of God working within them, put themselves in that position to grow. See, we're constrained to walk in the realm of the miraculous. Every day it's a choice to us that we can enter into that environment. And honestly, we're living miracles. All of us. Do this. And so our quest here this weekend is to look at the gospel records of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here we happen upon a man who adamantly refused to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Look in John chapter 20. Actually, we've seen that in a number of different records where people were almost flabbergasted. But had Jesus talked about himself being raised from the dead? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But yet when it actually happened, the response was basically one of unbelief and fear. Like, how can this be? Well, look at this record in John chapter 20, verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, well, I'll tell you what. Until I see the nails, I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. No. I don't believe it. I want to see him. Right into the nail hole. Put my hand right into the wound in his side. You know what? Then I'll believe. After 8 days, again, verse 26, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. And he stood in the midst and he said, peace be unto you. Then he spoke directly to Thomas. Now, was he there when Thomas said this? But he spoke directly to Thomas. He says, take your finger and look at my hands. Put your finger right here. And where is your hand? Thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And then, like Mike said, there's a lesson to every one of these resurrection appearances. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said here. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. You know, that's still the challenge of all of our lives. Is to believe God's word, to believe the miracles, to believe the promises of God's word, and having not ever seen them. See? You can see other people speaking in tongues. See? But until you do it, you've got to step forward and you've got to Lashanta, Malakasito, Kesanla. You've got to speak forth the words. You've got to move your throat, your lips, your tongue. You do the speaking, and then the words will be there, right? See. Do you think after this record that Thomas believed? Do you think you would believe? To see the risen Christ truly must have been a life-changing experience. And it must have been an awesome experience. But the lesson in all of this, I truly believe, is that we too are challenged throughout God's Word to grow in our believing. To walk in the realm of the miraculous. And sometimes to walk in the realm of the miraculous means you don't have everything figured out ahead of time. You haven't seen the movie yet. You're an actor in the movie. You're a participant in the play. It's happening as you're living your life. See, where is the realm of the miraculous? Well, it's in our lives that we're living day by day, moment by moment, opportunity by opportunity. We always have the choice, right? Look to Him or look to what we see. And what we see are circumstances, situations. Anybody ever see The Wizard of Oz? The man behind the curtain? comes and pulls the curtain back, and there's somebody behind there. Look in Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 11. Blessed are those that believe who have not seen. Hebrews 11, 6. Christianity really, much of the basis of Christianity is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's right there as part of the formula for the new birth. About believing God raised Him from the dead. And we've heard before that one of the great things that you remember, that you know that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, was how? Loshanta, Malakasito, Kasandala. Every time you speak in a tongue, you know, you have the proof, it's guaranteed that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Hebrews 11, 6. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Says we must have believing. And it's not believing in just senses evidence. Not in believing in just circumstances. See, Tom wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Put His fingers in there. Touch Him. Feel Him. Then he was assured this was the real deal. See. But Jesus turned that whole thing around and said, you know what? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Look at this in Luke chapter 1. And I think it's fascinating to us to learn from these resurrection appearances, each and every one of them, what's practical to us today from what we see in these resurrection occurrences? See? Luke 1:35. This is the record of Mary. Let's look at 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was a little troubled. And she cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. It's kind of an old English way of saying, what the heck? I mean, she meets an angel, right? And the angel starts speaking these things to her. And she's cast in her mind. She wondered. She thought about it. What? And the angel said unto her, Mary, don't be afraid. For you found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Most of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then verse 34, Mary says the most interesting, fascinating, plain English sort of heart question. How's this going to happen, seeing I never have had sexual relations with a man? That's the normal way things happen, remember? That's the normal way babies are conceived, born into this world. Well, Mary never had sexual intercourse. And yet, she's hearing this information from an angel, and she's going to have a child. Pretty startling. But the angel answered, verse 35, and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Look at this. Be it unto me according to what? Be it unto me according to thy word. It hadn't all occurred yet, had it? She had a promise from the angel. But yet Mary in her heart said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed, and the record goes on. In verse 45 it says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This Bible is full of things that God has told us. And God is so loving, so personal, that He's telling us things all the time. If we go to God with a humble heart and a humble mind, desiring to see, get an answer, does God have the capability of showing us individually and personally what that answer is? How to maybe minister to a situation? How to take care of a situation in our own personal lives? Like Russ said, God is the creator, this heavens, this earth. He's got answers. He's got promises. See, throughout God's word, we're challenged to grow in our believing. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. And verse 28 says, therefore we must conclude that a man is justified by faith, justified by that believing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Believing is even a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that comes to us as a result of just having the Spirit of God within us. I'm kind of warm under these lights, you know what? Thank you. I keep taking this off. I'll get down to something. But, oh, black. I look like Johnny Cash or what? Huh? What was that famous song he wrote? Walk the Line. There you go. Ring of Fire? Yeah, we don't have that on. We have that on PowerPoint, Ken? We could just break into a round of that right now. That'd be fun. Yeah. But you know, there's so many things to think about when we come into this time of year where we're thinking about the resurrection, what the world formally calls Easter, and what have you. You know, by this time of the night, Jesus Christ had already risen, right? He was crucified on what day? Wednesday. Sometime before sunset. And he rose on Saturday, sometime before sunset. You know, it gets a little confusing in the churchianity world because Good Friday, Easter Sunday morning, it's a little tough, right? 3 days, three nights. It's hard to get that in there. And, you know, we're endeavoring to teach the accuracy of God's word to the best of our ability. So this is why we, you know, do things like this. This is why we have opportunities to share the book like we have in the bookstore, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, which details so much of this information in such a tremendous way. You know, But here in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, what? Faith. Believing. Believing. God wants us to have strong believing. See? We want to have strong believing. So many opportunities for us. You know, believing, it's not necessarily built upon favorable senses, circumstances, but it's built solely on the promises of God's Word. Something to remember. Because, you know, we're going to sit through a lot of teachings. You're hearing a lot of things this weekend. What are you going to remember when you leave? What are you going to go away with? You hear this person teach, that person teach, you know. A lot of things shared at the meals. A lot of wonderful fellowship time to be together. But what's really getting to your heart? What's gonna get through all that? Stuff that the adversary really tries to throw at us to hurt us. And to get us to feel less than what God's Word says about us. See? What can you take away from here that's gonna strengthen you? Help you, make you a better individual in an environment that's sometimes pretty hostile out there, right? It's a hostile environment we go out into. See, the only decision we have to make is which is the greater reality. The census facts, and yeah, they could be very real, or the promise of God. We don't have to pretend that we are not experiencing pain in our physical bodies when we are hurting. If bills are piling up, you don't pretend that those bills aren't there. You know what the reality is? They're there! You can't just say they don't exist, because they do exist, don't they? The electric company may then decide that your power isn't there either. Believing neither ignores nor pretends, but weighs the senses information against the promise of God and concludes that God is faithful to perform His Word despite the senses information. You know what, folks? It's always a challenge between faith and senses information. We are so groomed to walk by the senses. Into a room, you see somebody. They're pretty. What do you think? You see somebody that's not so pretty, you're like, ugh. Hey, it's just the way groomed we're because of the world's conditioning. See? We don't want to be really judgmental people, but you know what? Many times, we are. We judge others and judge ourselves way too hard. Do we look at things through the eyes of the five senses? Honestly, yes, we do. Many times. We're getting better at continually challenged. Here this weekend, I'm challenging you. God's Word is challenging you. To rise above the five senses. Walk in the realm of the miraculous. Rise up to your full potential as who you are, as a or daughter of God. Jesus Christ has come for. That I have come that they might have life and that they might have it defeatedly. Oh, I'm just being bummed out, anxious, pissed off. You know, it's just like, hey, seriously. You know, we have victory in the Christian life. But how about living the victory in the Christian life? On a consistent basis. We're all challenged to do that, aren't we? Oh, yeah. See? Spiritually, we have the victory in Christ. He defeated the enemy. And you know what? It must have ticked the devil off pretty doggone bad when God raised him from the dead. Because the devil thought he had won. when he had the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Isn't that not right? But God revealed the mystery, right? That he would raise the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and on the day of Pentecost, that he would give the gift of Holy Spirit, that now people could be born again of God's Spirit. Do you know what? They must have been ticked off. That Jesus Christ died. He thought he had done this guy in, and it was over. See? And when you take God's word, when you make up your mind that you're not going to walk according to the five senses, you know what? You may have a little friction in your life too. So what? You may have friction without doing it. You may have a worse friction without doing it. At least you've got an answer now to pressure. At least now you have an answer to how to deal with temptations. At least you now have an opportunity to learn something from another source outside of yourself. And most people think, consider themselves to be pretty wise. Believing, it doesn't ignore. And it doesn't pretend. It weighs the information. And then it concludes that God is faithful to perform His Word despite the senses information. That's the challenge we're really up against day by day by day. See? And it's God's will, God's desire for us to grow in our believing, in our application of the Scriptures. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. I think we read this a little bit earlier in someone else's teaching. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I do get worked up about it. But so does the enemy. The enemy gets worked up about it too, to try to talk people out of it. And to hold people down and never get them up to that point in their thinking where they just say, "Thus saith the Lord. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do." You know, it feels good just to say that. Just to look at the evil one and back him down and just say, "Yeah, you know what? I am what the Word of God says I am. I don't care how I feel. I could feel so unrighteous, so condemned. And I may have even taken an action that brought on that kind of at times. But you know what? God, so much. And He does. And the reality is, I'm righteous no matter what I do. And so are you. You're righteous. You're righteous. Not based on what you do. It's based on what's already been accomplished for you in exactly what we're talking about this weekend. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. You know why? Because we're all involved in situations where we need victory. All of us. Health, finances, maybe mental something or other. Maybe, I don't know what to fill in the blank with necessarily in your situation. But Jesus Christ was the only perfect man. He left this earth. Game's over. Ain't all perfect. No matter how perfect. And Mike, you're darn pretty, darn pretty. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That's God's desire for us, that we would have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, who He is. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the of His inheritance in the saints. Now listen to this. And what is the exceeding greatness of His according to the working of His mighty power, what which He wrought in Christ when He raised from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, folks. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to what? Us! That same spiritual energy, that same spiritual power that a dead man after 3 days, 3 nights. What's the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, He set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, every name that is named, not only in this name, this world, but also in that which is to come. Put all things under His feet. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us? Us. You know, and this is Ephesians. This is talking about more than just the... It's talking about... greatness of His power to us. Energy, ministries, things within people's lives. That power would be manifested, and the ultimate goal is in bringing praise and glory and thanksgiving to Almighty God. Let's see. 1 Thessalonians, maybe some of you know this. I'll bet you Todd knows this. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. If you know it, say it along with me. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's a great testimony of the word about itself. It works effectually and effectively and abundantly and whatever other word you can give to it. One simple thing, the choice you make. What do you choose to believe? Senses evidence, like Thomas? Or what the Word encourages us to walk by faith? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, for we walk by faith, not by what? Sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Think about what Jesus Christ said to Thomas. Blessed are they which believe and have not seen. See? And there in Corinthians it talks about, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most miraculous. It's the most notable. It's the most historic. It's the most unbelievable event that happened in all of history. Never before has there been anyone ever resurrected from the dead. It's a life that conquered death and the grave, and it brings with it a new body and unlimited spiritual potential. You know, in Hebrews it says that Jesus delivered all them that were subject to all their lifetime to the bondage of fear, that Jesus delivered them who were all their lifetime subject to bondage through a fear of death. Christ eliminated that. We no longer have to fear and be afraid of death. See, because Jesus really defeated death. the moment he awoke on that Saturday evening. So now we're constrained to offer ourselves in living sacrifice and in service to really to walk above the realm of five senses, to walk in the realm of the miraculous. Kick it up a little bit. Walk in the realm of the miraculous. You can do it. You've been called to do it. God's Spirit placed within you to enable you to do it. All you got to do is do it. All I've got to do is do it. See? We're on the same team. See? That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead works in you, works in me, works in this body of Christ. See? We never can lower the value of what we really have been given so freely. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you for all the things we learn, we develop, we believe, we understand, Father, that it's all tempered with love. And as we walk forth confidently, as we walk forth boldly, that you will energize us, you will strengthen us, you will help us to be the men and women that we dream of, that we desire to be. Men and women after your own heart, Father. And I pray that weekends like this can be such an inspiration, such a vision-building time that our lives are just full and rich and productive. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for the victory that we see now and will see at the return of Jesus Christ. I pray in His name. Amen.